This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside. And today's programme is all about kings and kingdoms with the theme, Behold, I am making all things new. Last Sunday morning, as our country entered into a time of mourning following the death of Her Majesty the Queen, we were led in prayer in our local church for our new monarch and our new Prime Minister. And as we prayed, a Bible reading came to mind, which was this, Behold, I make all things new. Quite a relevant scripture, for we had entered a new era, in which a new king and a new government leader were about to establish themselves in office, with all of us waiting to see what kind of impact they would make. The reading itself, Behold, I make all things new, was from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, which speaks not just of the kingdom of now, it speaks of the kingdom of God being established one day and coming in great glory to renew the earth. It says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We are told in the very next chapter that the one sitting on the throne, who calls himself the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is the very same one described as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in chapter 19. And in chapter 22, we learn that his name is Jesus, who says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches." Here's one of the most beautiful of all modern hymns around, called King of Kings, with words and music by Jason Ingram, Brooke and Scott Ligertwood.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Just in case you couldn't pick up all the words of that song there, let me read some of them out to you. It's all about Jesus, who descended from heaven to bring hope and salvation to the world through his death and resurrection, bringing about his kingdom on earth. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. One of the most glorious pieces of music ever written is the Hallelujah Chorus, part of Handel's Messiah, an oratorio which also has King of Kings and Lord of Lords in its lyrics. Handel composed it in only 24 days, with a 259-sheet score and roughly a quarter of a million notes, which is amazing. Did you know that Handel hardly came out of his room as he was composing his Messiah? And the servant who brought him meals said, he was praying, or he was weeping, or he was staring into eternity. And Handel himself spoke about his experience later, saying, I think I did see all heaven before me, and the great God himself. There's a famous legend, I don't know if it's true or not, that when King George II first heard the Hallelujah Chorus, he rose to his feet in awe, sensing that he was in the presence of one greater than himself, and everyone else in the audience followed suit. That was the Hallelujah Chorus, sung there by the Tabernacle Choir. Wasn't that glorious? I would just love to hear that being played at the coronation of King Charles III with everyone standing. When we read of the many kings in the Bible, we see so many instances, one after the other, of a circle game being played out, which has continued down through the ages. First of all, in the lives of these kings, there was wealth and great resolve. And then, sadly, a disregard for God's laws, a falling away of faith, then idolatry of some kind, then war and captivity, then real sorrow and repentance, followed by restoration and then prosperity once more. Not in every case, but then the whole circle would be repeated. But this trend not only applied to kings. We too, even today, can get caught up in this circle, which is why Jesus asked us to put God's kingdom first, to allow his rule and reign in our lives, saying, "Seek God's kingdom first," he said, "and his righteousness," that is, right living, "and all these things will be added unto you." Let's listen to a song called "Seek Ye First" by Karen Lafferty.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Man shall not
Scripture tells us we must put God's concerns ahead of our own, to display compassion towards the poor, to fight against injustice and oppression, to love and forgive each other. When we choose to do otherwise, our world becomes fractured, a kingdom out of sync, like a garment buttoned up incorrectly. But we can be made new again when we seek God's kingdom and his ways, and we ask his forgiveness. When Israel's most famous king, King David, fell from grace, he wrote a beautiful song of repentance, a Psalm 51, and God restored him, but he still had to face the consequences of his actions. Here's Keith Green singing, "Create in me a clean heart, O God."
Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me.
When Jesus lived on earth, he spoke not only of the importance of that kingdom yet to come, but also of the one in the here and now, which every person can bring about by listening to his words and acting them out in their lives. He said, "The kingdom of God is not something people will be able to see and point to. Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." With these words, Jesus was teaching us something that was universal and timeless. So as we consider a new order being established in our country with a new king and a new style of government, we must realise it's not their responsibility alone that will bring about a better world to live in. It's also up to each one of us to seek God, to ask what it is he wants of us. Perhaps we could begin by looking at what Scripture says about treating God's world and one another with greater respect, and becoming servants just as our Queen was a servant, and to listen carefully and show compassion. Here's a hymn called, "O Jesus, I Have Promised to Serve Thee to the End." Last week, our new king, King Charles III, addressed the nation for the first time since the loss of his mother, the Queen. He echoed the promises she made 70 years ago and affirmed his faith in God, describing his beliefs as so deeply rooted. He spoke of his pride in our nation and what a privilege it was for him to now serve us as king. He spoke of his support and abiding love for every single member of his family. He vowed that in the remaining time God granted him, that he would uphold the constitutional principles at the heart of our nation. "Wherever you may live in the United Kingdom," he said, "or in the realms and territories across the world, and whatever may be your background or beliefs, I shall endeavour to serve you with loyalty, respect and love, as I have throughout my life." I would imagine that just before he is crowned, at his coronation in a few months' time, he too will walk straight past the throne and kneel at the high altar in silent prayer, just as the Queen did. And it will be his turn to give his allegiance to God too, before anyone gives their allegiance to him, acknowledging that it is by God's grace alone that he will reign. Let's listen to a brand new poem this morning, written just this last week by Carol Dixon, and it's called Passing. A strange sadness affects this land, the world at the passing of our Queen, longest reigning monarch in the British Isles. Darkness descends despite the sunlight, like limbo time on Good Friday, a sense of waiting, with bated breath for what comes next. Yet things move on. The unwritten constitution ensures continuity. Meanwhile, prayers are said for the departed and for the new king on whose shoulders, now bowed with sadness, the succession rests. God grant peace to the departed sovereign and to the one on whom the mantle of monarchy falls. Pour out, we pray, sovereign God, your love upon our king and country this day, each passing day, and in the days to come. Thank you, Carol, for sending in that beautiful poem. I'd like to end today's programme with a prayer, though, which might well be part of the Queen's funeral service in Westminster Abbey tomorrow. Almighty and eternal God, you uphold and govern all things both in heaven and on earth, and by your grace alone, the monarchs of this world bear rule. We thank you for all the blessings which you have bestowed upon us through our late sovereign Queen Elizabeth, whom you called from this life in recent days. We thank you for the wisdom of her guidance and her love of peace, for the care with which she served her people, for the example of her gracious life, and for the well-being which this nation has enjoyed during her happy reign. We pray that you would fill our hearts with gratitude for all these good things, and to give us grace that we may use the memory of them as a perpetual call to live according to your will, for the good of all the world, and the glory of your great name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.